Morning. Glad to see each one of you here. And not sure if we're all bright-eyed and bushy-tailed like the kids were not either, so we may be kind of right where they are, still trying to wake up a little bit. I'll get these awake here on this front row, I'll be all right. So that's a good night, you're wide awake. I want to ask you to turn back to the book of Exodus this morning. Exodus chapter 33. We're just going to read some of the portion that we looked at last Sunday morning and then use that as a springboard to continue along something of the same thought. We were thinking about the glory of the Lord and how Moses saw the glory of the Lord. He had that desire to see the Lord's glory and the Lord granted that to him. We're thinking about glory as the sum total of attributes, the intrinsic essence, who God really is. That's His glory. So let's just read, if we could, starting at chapter 33, down in the 17th verse. If you're here last Sunday morning, these verses hopefully will be familiar to you. If not, hopefully they'll catch you up with where we are. Exodus 33 and verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Now, we saw last Sunday morning that God's glory is not only what He does, though that is glorious, and He expresses His glory as He did in providing the manna and in manifesting Himself in the cloud in the wilderness, and in that fire as He appeared on top of Mount Sinai. God and His glory was seen, but we found that Moses recognized there was more to God's glory than that, and he wanted to see the glory of God. And we read there in verse 18 of chapter 33, him saying to the Lord, Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. And we saw that God, in His goodness, said, I will show you my glory. I'll make my goodness pass before you. I will declare my name to you. And that's the heart of God for us as well. We saw over in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God, who showed Moses His glory, is also willing to show us His glory in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I wonder during this past week, if you were here last Sunday morning and you share these things together with us, I wonder if at any point during the week, if you ever prayed and said, Lord, show me Your glory. Show me Your glory. And if you did pray that, I wonder if you saw His glory. Did you see the glory of the Lord? You know, sometimes God is showing us His glory and we miss it. Because sometimes we get distracted by other things and something else will get in the way of what we're looking at. You know, back home at our chapel, Shannon Hills Bible Chapel, when you come out the upstairs door, there's a little overhang, and folks, of course, as you do here, come out, and sometimes there'll be someone there to greet you, maybe the speaker from that day. One Sunday morning, I was right outside that door, and people were coming through, and one brother, as he came through near the end of the line, he's a brother named Amin. He's from Lebanon. And Amin came by, and he was standing. I actually ended up standing facing the building. I was facing, as I would as people came out, he was facing back toward the building. And he said, "Isn't that a beautiful sight?" Well, I looked, and about the time he said that, my wife Kim came walking out the door. And I said, "Yes, that is a beautiful sight." And he said, no, I mean the new landscaping. See, he had been out working there the day before, getting the bushes trimmed real nice and flowers planted along there. And what he was wanting me to look at, I totally missed it because something more beautiful was coming by. And I saw the beauty, but it wasn't the beauty he was trying to show to me. And sometimes as God tries to show us His glory, tries to declare to us His name, who He is, His character. Sometimes as God is showing that to us, we miss that because we're distracted by other wonderful, beautiful things. Even the beauty of God in creation, the glory of God in creation, we need to see God there, but even in that, we want to see more of God's glory, as Moses did. I hope that is still your heart, or will again become your heart this morning. Lord, show me Your glory. And when God shows us His glory, He expects there to be a response to His glory. Guys, when you get married and your wife gets all dressed up and she's looking nice and she comes out, you know, she's looking for a response. She wants you to say, "You look very nice," or "You're beautiful." God, when He shows us His glory, He rightly expects a response. And I think as we look at Moses here in Exodus 34, we see three responses to God revealing His glory to Moses. Remember, Moses said, "Lord, show me Your glory." The Lord said, "I will do that. You come out tomorrow morning." Moses got up early, went up on Mount Sinai, and we saw there in verses 5 through 7 that God came down. He descended in the cloud and passed by and proclaimed His name. And He showed Moses His glory, showed him His character. And then Moses responded. We're going to look at the first two kind of quickly and spend more time on the third one. But in verse 8, we see that when Moses saw the glory of the Lord, he was led to respect the Lord. Look at verse 8. "And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped." When he saw God, when he saw the glory of God, when he saw the Lord God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundance and goodness and truth, when he saw the Lord God merciful in forgiveness, when he saw the Lord God in His justice, Moses very quickly, almost immediately it seems, that he bowed his head toward the earth and he worshiped this one that he had just seen His glory. And isn't that appropriate? Wouldn't we expect, when we see the glory of God, who God is, wouldn't we expect to be moved to respect Him, to reverence Him? Listen to what we read in Revelation 4. We read there that about the four living creatures, and each of them had six wings, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. In Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel is given a vision of the glory of God. And he said there in chapter 1 and verse 28 of his prophecy, This was the appearance of the glory of the Lord, and when I saw it, I sat back and twiddled my thumbs. No, when I saw it, I fell on my face. When Ezekiel saw the glory of the Lord, he fell on his face. Just like Moses bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped the Lord. In Revelation chapter 1, John there on the Isle of Patmos, he has a vision. And in the vision, he sees the Lord. And he sees Him in His glory. And what does he do? He said, when I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead. And when we see the glory of the Lord, when we go to the Word of God and we look there and we meditate and we see the glory of God and He reveals something of His character to us, maybe it's one particular attribute of Himself that He impresses on our hearts as we read the Scripture. And something just really stands out to us about God. And as we see that and think on that and recognize that that is an aspect of the glory of the Lord, we should bow our heads and worship God. Our respect for Him should deepen. We should reverence Him for who He is. And what a privilege it is during the next hour when we'll come back into this room and gather with those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and we will meditate on the Lord Jesus, and we will see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and hopefully we've already been seeing His glory. And as a result of that, we'll come together and we'll bow our heads to the earth and we'll worship as we remember the Lord Jesus. And we think about Him and His character and who He is. And what He has done because of who He is. Moses was led to respect the Lord. He bowed down in worship. And we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. God desires that. It's a rightful response to seeing God's glory. We should worship Him. But then we see in verse 9 that Moses was also led to request the Lord. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. See, when Moses saw the glory of the Lord, it reconfirmed to him the Lord's willingness to help and provide. He saw the Lord in His mercy. He saw the Lord in His grace. He saw the Lord in His patience. He saw the Lord in His kindness and in His forgiveness. He saw the Lord in His justice, and it motivated Moses to say, Yes, I can come before this great God, this glorious One, and I can ask Him for what's on my heart because He cares and He knows. And He loves me. And Moses was moved. He was motivated to request of the Lord. And when we see the Lord in His glory, when we really recognize God for who He is, and more of that, we should be moved to come before Him in prayer. It should not only impact our worship, but it should impact our prayer, that we would come boldly in appreciation, letting our request be made known to God with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank You for who You are. I thank You that You have shown me more of who You are. And now I am even more motivated to come before You and ask You to do for me what is deeply on my heart. And we don't have time this morning to look at the things specifically that Moses prayed for. But God wants you to open your heart in request of Him. And then lastly, we'll spend most of our time on this. We see not only that as Moses looked at the glory of the Lord and gazed on who God really is, not only was he led to respect the Lord in worship, and not only was he led to request the Lord in prayer, but also we find that he was led to reflect the Lord. Reflect the Lord. Here in chapter 34, we're gonna jump down because from verses 10 through 28, or 10 through 27, the Lord is speaking to Moses. He is giving Moses instruction. And there in verse 28, we see that Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He did neither eat bread nor drink water. And he wrote upon the tables the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now notice in verse 29, and it came to pass, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not or recognized not, he perceived not that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him. So we see that a result of Moses seeing the glory of the Lord was that his face shone. His face shone. I think it's interesting that Moses didn't know his face was shining. Moses didn't come down from the mountain saying, hey, check me out. You want to see some godliness? You want to see a little spirituality? Look at me. No, Moses wasn't acting like that. He didn't even realize that his face was shining. It was a natural, or supernatural, you might say, a natural or supernatural result of gazing on the Lord, of looking at His glory, of meditating on who God is. The result of that was that His face reflected what He had seen. You know, the Israelites were afraid. And you can imagine how that could take place. Moses comes down and here His face is shining. I don't mean just like he had a lot of sun or a lot of oil on his face. I mean it was shining in a brilliance that they had never seen, and they feared that. And Moses put a veil on that for one reason, that they wouldn't be afraid, so they would come and listen to him. But I want you to go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. You might want to hold your place here. We'll come back briefly to Exodus 34 again before we close. But if you go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we find that the Spirit of God leads Paul to use this event in Moses' life. He uses this to teach the New Testament church. And those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we're a part of the New Testament church. And so God says, you know, that happened to them, I want to use that to teach you today. So look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to start down in verse 7. He's talking about the ministration or the ministry of death. But if the ministration of death, written and engraved in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So we see here from the first part of what we read, which we're not going to spend a lot of time on there, but we see that it refers back to Moses and how Moses put that veil over his face so that the people could bear to look at him. It was so bright, it was so brilliant, it caused them to fear. But we see another reason he had the veil over his face was because that glory would tend to fade away. That shining would tend to fade away. And Paul says that is an illustration of how the law had a temporary purpose. A temporary purpose. For tonight in the gospel meeting, we're going to look a little bit more at the purpose of the law. But we know that the law, we'll just mention very quickly, it was given to show us our need of the Lord Jesus, to point us to Christ, to show us our sin, and it still has its function, but now God has given us the glory of the Lord Jesus. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And now we have the glory of God seen in the face of the Lord Jesus, and how thankful we are for that. That greater glory has now come in the person of Jesus Christ, who came to keep the law, and then to bear the curse of the law, that we might be freed from the penalty of the law. And we see that Paul takes that and applies it to us. And how sad those who, like the nation of Israel, today the veil is still there. They don't recognize that the Lord Jesus has come with His glory. They don't understand that grace and truth has come by Jesus Christ. But those of us who have seen the truth, who have seen the Lord Jesus and have trusted Him as Savior, we have that great privilege now of, as we read about in verse 18, we want to focus now, verse 18, we have the opportunity to take off the veil. The veil has been done away in Christ, and we're able to go to the Bible. And everybody in here this morning has the privilege of owning a copy of Scripture. And if you don't have one, I know Brother Freddie will give you one. If your parents won't, or your spouse won't, or your children won't. But I know you all have the Word of God. We all have the privilege of looking into the Scripture. And as we gaze into the Scripture, we see there that we are being changed. We're being changed. Moses was changed on the mountain. When he left that mountain, after seeing the Lord and gazing on the glory of God as it was revealed to him, he was a different man when he left. His was shown in a physical way. His face was shining. And when we look at the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we should not walk away from that the same. We should be changed. And so when you look into the Word of God, think about that as looking into a mirror. Looking into a mirror. He calls it a glass here in verse 18 in the King James. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So you look into the Word of God,
Consider that a mirror. I like to think about it like this. I go into a room and there's a mirror and I look in the mirror and I see myself. That's not always a good sight. Sometimes my face is dirty. Sometimes my hair is messed. Sometimes I don't look as good as I do at other times. I never look real well, but, you know, sometimes I look even worse. And you go in there and you look in the mirror. And you know what? When I look in the Word of God and I see reflected back who I am, that's not always a good sight. But I like to look at it like this. I'm looking in the mirror. And then someone walks up behind me. And there's, so as I look in the mirror, I see myself, but I see them too. When I look into the Word of God, I see myself. We look into a mirror, James says, and we see what manner of man we are. But you know what? We also see the Lord Jesus, don't we? We look into the Word of God, we look in the mirror, we see ourselves, our shortcomings, but then we also, as we look, we see the Lord Jesus standing there, and He is being reflected out of the mirror. And we see His glory, and His beauty, and His perfection. And Paul says that as we gaze on the glory of the Lord in the Scripture, as we focus upon who the Lord Jesus is, as we did last Sunday morning, we thought about His character and how He, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, what happens? Changed into the same image. In other words, that's God's intent. When you're looking at the Lord Jesus in the Scripture, God's intent is that you worship. God's intent is that you be drawn to commune with Him and to ask of Him what's on your heart. And His heart is also that you and I be changed, and not just changed, but changed into the same image. The image of the Lord Jesus. The glory of God seen in the face of the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 tells us that we have been predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God's intent and His purpose, and it will be fulfilled. We will be changed to the image of the Lord Jesus. When we see Him, we're going to be like Him. God is wanting to change us to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to do that from glory to glory. Notice in our passage, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. Progressively, God is changing you and me into the image of His Son. And that's His desire. And sometimes we look at a person, ladies may be more like looking through a magazine and I want my hair cut like that. Yeah, I want to look like this. But guys, you know, we look at other, we might look at a sports magazine and say, oh man, I wish I could look like him. You know, and there are a lot of people we want to look like, maybe. There are a lot of other people that we like to be like. But here, God says, I've got the best of all for you. I am changing you to be like my Son. Don't disturb that. So the grace of God, He wants us to be like the Lord Jesus, and He's changing us progressively from one stage of glory to the next stage, like the potter with the clay, shaping us, and gradually that image of the Lord Jesus is becoming more and more evident. We hope. That's our desire. Lord, show me Your glory, and then Lord, make me like Your Son. Make me like Your Son. Change me to be like Him. As we yield to Him, He will change us, shape us to be more like the Lord Jesus. And guess what? We may not even recognize it.
We may be like Moses coming down from the mountain who didn't even perceive that his face was shining. And more than likely, the ones who are being most changed into the image of the Lord Jesus are the very individuals who don't even realize. They're so caught up with the Lord Jesus, and they're becoming like Him that they don't even realize they're becoming like Him. But others realize it. Moses didn't know it, but everybody that saw Moses knew it. Wow, look at that shiny face. Where he's been with the Lord. And others should see us. And they should see a difference. I'm not talking about a physical appearance difference, though it may come out in a smile, though it may come out in a look of peacefulness, even in difficulty, but there should be a difference in the way that we live our lives, our attitudes. It should be different. It should be more like the Lord Jesus. And that's going to change from glory to glory, from one stage of glory to the next. Look back to Exodus 34 one more time. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shines from the Word of God to unbelievers. Sometimes it bounces right off. They ignore it. You know what? God's glory in the face of His Son should also be reflected by those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus. Should be reflected off of us. Well, what should they see? Well, as I gaze on the glory of the Lord, that same image, that same glory should be seen in me in progressively greater degrees. Notice as we go back in chapter 34, over in verse 6, remember as the Lord came down in the cloud and proclaimed His name, showed His glory and His goodness to Moses, the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God merciful. And we saw that the Lord Jesus is merciful. And so as we were changing His image, what should people see in us? They should see an individual who is merciful, who is compassionate. Luke 6, the Lord Jesus said, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." The Lord Jesus told a story in Matthew chapter 18. And in that, the master said to the servant on whom he had had compassion, "Should not you also have had compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had compassion on you?" In other words, people should look at us and they should see individuals who are full of mercy and compassion toward other people. People that care. What else did Moses see as he saw the glory of the Lord? He saw the Lord God, gracious. And people should look at us and they should see individuals who are full of grace. Ephesians 4:29 tells us about the way that we talk. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or upbuilding, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Colossians 4:6 says that our speech should always be with grace. Colossians 3:16 says that we should sing with grace. We should be people who were known by our graciousness of spirit, our merciful spirit, our gracious spirit, people of compassion, people who don't treat others as they deserve, because God hasn't treated us as we deserve. What else did he see? He saw the Lord God, long-suffering, patient. Ephesians 4:2 tells us that as those who know the Lord Jesus, we should be functioning with long-suffering, forbearing with one another in love. That's the way God has treated us. Long-suffering. Patient in tribulation, going through times of difficulty, showing a patience that can only be the Lord Jesus, showing a mercy that's not just the mercy of the world, showing a grace that's not just the grace that an unsaved person shows, but something that is supernatural. The Lord God, abundant in goodness, the kindness of God. What else? Abundant in truth. Those who speak the truth in love. Being known as men and women who are kind, young people who speak the truth and who live according to the truth. What else did he see? The Lord God, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Ephesians 4:32 tells us to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Peter said, Lord, how often should I forgive my brother? Seven times? Lord Jesus said, I say not unto thee until seven times, until 70 times seven. Moses looked and he saw the Lord God, righteous. He saw the justice of God. And he will by no means clear the guilty. And we saw the Lord Jesus in his perfect righteousness, bearing the guilt of the unrighteous. We see him in the righteousness of his life, and so should our life. We should pursue righteousness, as Paul told Timothy. He told him that in 1 Timothy. He told him that in 2 Timothy. Timothy, pursue, follow after righteousness, a life, this life. And we do this, we do all of this, we see back in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we do all of this as by the Spirit of the Lord, not by our strength, not by our flesh, not by our own ability, not by turning over a new leaf, but as by the Spirit of the Lord. Through the Spirit, we should do everything for the glory of the Lord. That when people look at us, they see the Lord Jesus reflected. Many of you here know our son Josh. And several years ago, when he came home to get married to Danielle, and that summer, we did a vacation Bible school at our chapel. And in that, we did some skits. And in the skits, Josh took on the character of someone we call Little Billy. And Little Billy was always, you know, getting himself into a fix and a problem, and he would somehow get rescued out of that problem. And we took that and made application every day to the Scriptures. Well, the day after our vacation Bible schooling, we had Monday through Friday morning and then a Friday night closing. The next day was the Saturday before Josh and Daniel were getting married. And Josh and I went up to a park about an hour away. It's called Hanging Rock. And it's a place where you can climb mountains there and waterfalls. And we went out and spent some time, hiked up and spent some time just up there talking. You know, father, son, just spending a little time talking up there. We came back down and we were going to go to one of the waterfalls, but they had a little rest area, a little place you go inside and use the restroom and get some water. And so we got ready to go in, and Josh was ahead of me, and he reached out, and as his hand hit the door, we heard this little voice behind us say, "Hey, little Billy!" And we looked around, and there were two children there with their father, who was looking kind of befuddled. He didn't know anything about Vacation Bible School. The children had been with their mother during that week, and he just had them on the weekend, and he didn't know what was going on. But it turned out that this little fella had seen Josh, and you know what? He didn't even see Josh. He saw a little Billy. In fact, that happened at Josh's wedding. Another little boy was sitting with his mother, and when Josh came out for the wedding, he told his mom, "Mom, little Billy's here." In the eyes of these children, Josh had taken on the character of little baby. Josh, they saw little Bill. And that reminds me how I desire that when people see me, whether they be young or middle-aged or old, that they wouldn't see Marshall. That they would see the Lord Jesus. That I would have gazed on the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. to the extent that the character, the attributes, the glory of the Lord Jesus would be seen in my life to such a degree that I could be mistaken. That they would see Jesus Christ. Truly, as we focus on Christ, as we go to the Word of God, and there see the Lord Jesus and meditate on His character, meditate on His person, that we'll be led to worship, that we'll be led to more freely even pray and open our hearts to Him for our needs, and that we'll reflect Him in the world in which we live. Father, we thank You this morning for Your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, what a privilege it is to know Him and to know His life eternal. Father, what a joy it is to continue to get to know Him. Father, we think of Paul, who said that I may know Him. Father, may that be the desire of our hearts. Father, may we desire to know Him better. May we desire to gaze upon Him, to look at Him, and to look for His character. Father, not only of what He did, but who He is. And Father, may that have an impact on our lives. May we be changed. Father, though it may be small changes, may there be changes from glory to glory. Father, that we might reflect the Lord Jesus. Thank You for Him. Thank You for the chance to talk about Him this morning and to share together one with another. Father, impact our lives through Your glory. And we ask this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.